You may have thought I already was going to lunch. Speaking of lunch, for those of you who can stick around for a little bit afterwards, I don't know how long that will be, but I know that Oscar and his wife are preparing another taco lunch, and they just do an amazing job. It's the real thing. So let me ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to two texts. And so if you have a way of maybe taking your notes and tucking them in at one point and then at another place, we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5. So please turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading today, and I'm going to be preaching today from the New American Standard. That's where I've done the bulk of my study, especially in this text. I've referred to it on a few occasions, but I'm preaching from the New American Standard, and this one is not even an updated one, but it's the Word of God, so it's very current. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16, and I will read through verse 23. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, Paul's saying this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to each other, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, very obvious, as the NIV says, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings, drunkenness, carousings, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So today's, we asked the question, the lead question at the beginning in the title of the message is, who's leading? Who's leading your life? Who's leading us as a church? Who's leading your family? Who's leading your children and your grandchildren? Who's leading? Big question of ultimate importance to young people, to old people. Who's leading? This is for all of us to ask the question and kind of take it from there. Who's leading my life? If you don't remember anything, at least remember that this question, who's leading? I remember when I was in track, and we'd go out and we'd start to, just at the beginning, we're just doing our warm-ups. And I remember one of my friends named Renwick. Everybody called him Ren. And Ren and I were pole vaulters. But before we started pole vaulting every day, or at least trying to pole vault, we would jog around the track a few times. And as we would jog around and warm up, I remember Ren turned to me one day and he said, why do you always have to be in front? I didn't know that's what I was doing. I honestly didn't. But I think I may have responded, well, I probably am in front because I'm always afraid of being behind. I don't know. It made sense to me anyway. And I know I have this tendency to do this. So we're at this stage of life when there's a lot of things going on around us that a lot of us kind of go, oh, no, here we go again. We're back to the masks. We're back to social distancing. We're back to people telling us how we are supposed to live our lives, whether it's in a business, a restaurant, whether it's at school. And we don't like it, do we, when people tell us all the time how we have to behave? It's kind of like me running around the track. I don't like somebody just telling me, you have to go this way. Hey, here we are. I was a little bit nervous when we got on an airplane this past, just a little more than a week ago. What I was nervous about was, were they going to ask for my vaccination record? They didn't. I guess I was surprised. I had it with me. I was told you have to wear a mask. And then this one, really, I don't know if you've been on an airplane since they've been doing this. And the airline that I went with, Southwest Airline, we love flying on that. And they're always a little bit, they kind of have fun with things. But they said, now we're going to hand out some limited snacks and a beverage. When you get this, you must just leave your mask on. But you if you're going to imbibe of that, just your Coke, pull it down, take a sip, and put it back on. You know, in my nature, I'm going, no, come on, get off my back. You know, we're side by side, we're okay. But we followed the rules. You know, as I say in my notes in that opening paragraph, we love our freedom, don't we? We love it. We love freedom of speech. And we should be able to say what we think. And when we say what we think, we shouldn't be attacked by teachers. We shouldn't be attacked by school boards. We shouldn't be attacked by local officials. We shouldn't be attacked by our family and friends. We like to say what we think, right? Across the years, we kind of bristle, maybe, if somebody says, you don't say that. Don't go there. So today, and as we started reading the scripture, we're going to talk about some actual limitations to our freedom. Some serious limitations to our freedom. If you read your notes there, we're going to talk about these serious limitations that we all actually put on ourselves. Did you hear, as I even read this, about how these are limitations that we actually put on ourselves? You see, it's quite natural for all of us to walk into the limitations of the flesh and how we want to be in charge, and we want to be boss of everything. We want to be boss in our family structure, whatever that is. We want to be boss, saying as to where we can go and what we can do and how much we can have. It's only natural that we run headlong into the limitations of our human nature, of the human condition, of the things that we get used to fighting for and trying to manage all on our own. These are the limitations of the sinful nature. But there really is a better way. And that way, you know, I don't know if you noticed this theme and what in the songs that Dan selected for our worship service today. It was we were singing about the Holy Spirit, who's present here, right? I know he's present here. Because I know if you're a follower of Christ, he's present. He's right here in you, in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And we need to let the Holy Spirit, we need to let the Spirit of God, God Almighty, lead. Romans chapter 8 is the other text that we're going to look at this morning, Romans chapter 8. Would you turn, please? This is such a one. I did you 2 weeks ago, as I was finishing up my message, I asked you to read basically and meditate on all of Romans chapter 8. I hope you did that. I'm not gonna ask for you to sign anything as to whether you did it or not. But as we talk about the Holy Spirit leading us, and the conflict that we have with our human nature, with our basic nature, we run into, even like Paul crying out in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, actually chapter 7 verse 24, Romans 7 verse 24, wretched man that I am, as Paul has talked about the human nature just being terribly oppressive, he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Who will set me free from my human nature? Who will set me free from my fleshly ambitions? Not just to be some lascivious, crazed sex maniac, but to set me free from my demand to be in charge and to push my brothers and sisters and cousins and co-workers, push them around. Who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. I want to do what's right. I want to serve the law, but I'm stuck and I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because a transformation has taken place. If you have realized you needed a Savior and you put your trust in Christ, a transformation has already taken place. Amen to that transition. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This last week I was reminded of the fact that you don't have to pray. You do not have to pray for the Spirit of God to come into you. You don't have to. If you're a believer in Jesus, according to the promise of Jesus, he sent him, and the Spirit is alive in you. The Spirit is alive in me. This is the Holy Spirit of God. And when I say the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about an ambience. It's not like this is I'm just feeling like God is here. No, the Spirit of God has actually taken up residence in you and in me. From the time I was 13 years old on the bank of that little river in Minnesota, when I gave my life to Christ, I put my trust in him. And I didn't hear organ music. I didn't, you know, the Holy Spirit didn't jump out of heaven and shake my hand. The Holy Spirit, though, and I didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit, he took up residence in my life, because that's what Jesus promised he would do. And he did. And I'm not talking about just a good-natured spirit. I'm talking about the living God. God, the Holy Spirit, took up residence in me. He's already here. Verse 3, Romans chapter 8. For what the law could not do, weak as it is, was in itself, through the flesh, God did in sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 3, once again, for what the law could not do, weak as it was in my hands in the flesh, I really wanted to be a good guy. I wanted to be a good boy. I remember when I thought, I don't even say the word shut up. I guess I'm pretty good, aren't I? And then one day my friend Wren told me as we walked out of school, things had changed in my life. Oh, you recognize that I'm a Christian? No, I recognize you got a pretty dirty mouth. Oh. Somewhere along the line, my efforts wasn't making a whole lot of headway. You see, the law of God, the wonderful word of God, it sounds like he's critical of the law, isn't it? For what the law could not do. The Ten Commandments could never do this. All the ancillary laws that went on for telling us how we should be worshiping. What Paul's message is, you know, the harder you try to make this happen, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to stop doing the stuff that I'm doing, and I can do this. I can be good. I can be better. Kind of. See, the law, and here's the key words that Paul uses here. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, trying to figure out how to keep the law just is not going to save you. You obey a lot of laws around here, right? So you have a good driving record. Your insurance company may give you a couple bucks, but do you think the state of California is going to give you a reward for having no tickets over the last year? You think you're going to get the only reward will be you get to keep your license a little bit longer until you mess up. But you know, the law could never save me from my sin. I'd already broken the law, hadn't you? Jesus said, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. So what happens when I'm not perfect? I'm condemned. Well, how about if I promise from now on, I'll be perfect. I promise. In fact, my wife tells me I've been doing it. You know, I've been perfect. Well, she said I was a model husband. I thought that was pretty good until I found out. I looked it up in the dictionary. It means a replica of the real thing. I tried to be good. I tried to keep all the law, but it doesn't, in my hands alone, I can't be, I already goofed up. I can't, by keeping the law more, make up for what I goofed up. So the Apostle Paul says in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the flesh. What's the basic of sin? At the heart of sin is I'm in charge. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it, God. I can do it. Okay? You can just back off and watch me. And then you can congratulate me at the end that I did such a good job keeping the law. He's going to say, no, not the way it works. You need a savior. And you need a power within you. You need a power within you that changes, as we said a couple of weeks ago, it changes the field of the battle. It changes it completely. What the Spirit can do, there is no limitation to what the Spirit can do. But we keep trying. Verse 5, we keep trying. And I guess maybe I'd like to commend everybody who tries to be good, and that's, we shouldn't be bad, but we keep trying, but we do keep running into our own limitations. Verse six. For the mind, here's these limitations that we keep running into. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. The mind set on the flesh, doing it my way. Come on, God, just let me do it my way. I can be good on my own. All these bad thoughts, all these whining thoughts and feeling sorry for myself and all these manipulative ideas as to how I can get my way and just make myself really, really prosperous as I look into the mirror, as the bank looks at me, really prosperous. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit. Listening, walking in the spirit, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, walking in the spirit is listening to the spirit. Listening. Discovering what as the spirit gives me understanding of the will and the ways of God. The mindset on the spirit. The mind, it says, I'll listen, Lord, rather than just make my own way. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is actually doing it my way. My way! What does it say in verse 7? The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Oh, that's what it is? You're going to go that far, God, and say this? Doing it my way is actually hostile to you? For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. As long as I say, I can do it myself. You ever act like that's the way it is between you and in your relationship with God? I can do it myself? They're just absolutely, refer to these in your notes. These are absolute limits to what we can do. We are powerless in our best intentions. We're powerless when we say, I'll figure this out. I can figure this out, God. If I just can balance all these words in your word. I'll go to the right seminars. I'll listen to the right preachers. I'll read the right translation. Whatever, I'll figure this out. I'll get it all. I'll take notes. I'll answer all the questions at the back of the bulletin. I'll get this figured out, and I'll be able to say what you got wrong, Pastor, in the whole process. That's okay. As long as we do this, try to do this on our own, we're just heading down the wrong path and beating our heads against the wall. I'll take the reins. I'll set the direction. The results are very, very obvious. And so what are the results? Turn back to Galatians chapter 5. After all, this is this ongoing study in the book of Galatians. So Galatians chapter 5. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. The deeds of the flesh. You want to go down that path? They're the obvious results from living in my own power and my own strength. The deeds of the flesh are obvious. They're evident. And they are immorality. Many of your translations might say sexual immorality. It's a good translation. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. Sorcery, another word for it's the root of that word is the root from which we get the word pharmakia. It's drugs. I remember years ago hearing when drugs in my generation coming through college and all the drugs, the psychedelic drugs, and I remember saying, drugs, this kind of mood changing drugs, they're associated, they are part of the occult, part of cults. Strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions. In your notes, I ask you, well, okay, so these are, you might, for the most part, we might read that list of, yuck, those are really horrible things. That's the deeds of the flesh. Boy, I'm sure glad I'm not doing any of those things now. Now, I'm sure glad, right? Y'all feeling pretty safe right now? Well, that's why the last point in your notes are, what are some of the other epic results of handling things in the flesh, where your flesh is in charge? Some of the epic results, things like fear, crazed fear. You're afraid of everybody around you. You're afraid of your own family. You're afraid of what people will think if you go a little contrary to whatever they were supposed to be doing. You're afraid. Fear is a result of the flesh. Psalm 37, verse 8 says, don't be anxious. Being anxious will only lead to evil. Evil. Well, I'm only fearful. How can that be so bad? Because you're just insistent upon being in charge, being able to control your world. Every time I'm fearful, I read a book, boy, this will just scare the living daylights out of you. And I read it knowing what it was going to do. It's the book 2034, The Next World War. Whoa, that'll really curl your eyebrows, you know, if you had eyebrows to curl. Yeah, listen, there's some horrible things that could happen. I mean, really, really horrible things. And according to the person that wrote that book and all sorts of other four-star generals and admirals, it's not far in the future that something like this will happen. But to be fearful of that is to be really, to indulge my fear, to indulge the fear, and to be fearful. I can't stop fear from starting up, at least it just kind of comes spontaneously. But I can just now deal with it. Look at the next, as the notes go on, I just want to call your attention to a couple of things. The connection, what is our connection to the limitless Spirit of God? Now, we're going to talk about fellowship. Next week, we're going to talk about that fellowship with God. I talked about walking with God. And I may have even said something like this a couple weeks ago, that this is like taking a walk with the Spirit. The Spirit is with me. The Spirit is in me. So I want to just say, well, what do you think, Lord? What should I do? What should I say? What should I think right now? Where should I go with this? What should I do now that I've been misunderstood, now that I've been accused of something, now that somebody's pointing the finger at me, now that the bottom has fallen out? What do I do now? Lord, I'm walking with the Spirit, but I need to be a very, very, I want to be very, very clear on this. When we talk about walking with the Spirit, it's not like taking a walk with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. It's not like, as nice as the beach is. It's not like just strolling along. It's not like taking a walk with your buddy, your best friend, just hanging out with your buddy. Well, it's not the same thing. Why? Because this is the Spirit of God. This is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in you, in me. And that's all I have to listen to. I get to listen to the Spirit of God, who is limitless in his understanding. I am so, and you too, you could be a genius, but compared to God, we are puny Oh, he gave us a mind. We're made in his image. But we will never be God. We will never have that full perspective. Never. But when I walk with the Spirit of God and I say, whoa, Lord, I'm scared. Do you know what could happen, Lord, right now? I'm walking and talking to the Spirit of God, who knows the end from the beginning, who knows me, just like he knows you inside out. There's not a question. Well, I took this test, Lord, and this is the, you know that this is the kind of person I am. You know, I like to have influence. You know that. That's how I test it out, over and over again. That's my leadership style. He says, you think you're telling me something new? I know you. I know your background. Every one of you, I know you, and I'm here. And if you're a believer in Jesus, if you put your trust in Christ, you're a new creation. You are a new person. Old things are past and all things have become new, and the Spirit of God is in you. So walk with him. Listen and enjoy his presence. We're going to go on. Next week, you notice I didn't really spend, I just kind of read through this list, the bad things. I'm not going to do a word study on each of those things. We're going to go on to the fruit of the Spirit. And God wants the fruit to last. He wants these things to happen in us, and they will happen as we, I mean, literally, these things will happen as we walk in the Spirit. You don't have to say, I'm going to generate this love, joy, peace, patience. I think I can do it. No, as soon as you think you can do this on your own, you're already what? Walking in the flesh. You're walking in the flesh. It's not, I can do it. I can do it. There's the list. I'm shooting for that. The fruit of the Spirit. I'm shooting for it. I can make that happen. So, read it. Memorize it. Enjoy it. Let's stand. I'm going to close this in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you that your word never, you promised your word going out would never return void, but you would by your Spirit and with those words, you'd have an impact on our lives. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit is alive in us and that when we get off track, he just so straightforwardly and gently reminds us, better check in on this one. Seek me. Just seek me and listen. Lord, I pray that we would all just live the life that you intended us to live as we walk in the Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.